Rama Chakaki is with me in the studio. Good afternoon to you, Rama.
Hello.
And all the way live from Beirut is our very own Alexander McNab. How are you doing, Alexander?
Hi-ho, I'm doing fantastically, thank you.
Good. Are you basking in the sunshine and the wonderful weather of Lebanon?
I certainly am. It's deliciously Mediterranean here today.
It sounds lovely. But really, you're there. You're not really there for the weather. You're there, of course, for Geekfest. And am I right in saying it's number five?
Geekfest 5.0, it is, yes. Wow. It's odd to think there have been five whole Geekfests here since it first came here back in 2009.
Okay.
But yes, it's number five.
And what do you expect to be happening over the next few days?
It's tomorrow night. It's taking place in Gymnasium. And it's been organized by a group called the Online Collaborative. And the Online Collaborative are based out of the American University in Beirut. And sort of centers around Lena Cowley, who's a lecturer there, who's very digital and uses social media a lot in her work. And they're a group of people who are dedicated to the digital lifestyle and digital citizenship. And so Geekfest is one of the things they're doing as part of all the events they put together to further that aim. And they've done a fantastic job. It really does look like a stunning agenda.
Mm.
The themes are fashion and music. So there's a catwalk, there's a fashion show. There are the usual talks. They've got the seven talks and all lined up. And then they've got stand-up comedy and rock gigs happening.
Wow, that's cool.
I certainly know how to put an event on.
Sorry, I was just going to ask you if you're going to give a little talk about Olive.
I'll be resisting that. I might not resist that temptation. Now you give me the idea.
I know. Maybe you will now.
Available in all good bookshops in Beirut as well. Yes, the Online Collaborative has done a fantastic job, and even down to the point where the fashion show, the models are actually going to be real-life geeks.
Really? That sounds creative. Can you snap some photos and send them through?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be loads of people snapping away, because the Geek Fest sort of attracts people like photographers and videographers and people who do that kind of thing. So I'm sure there'll be lots of imagery. And of course, Beirut is always the most painfully funky and arty of all the Geek Fests. And this one just looks like it's going to be an absolute stunner.
Well, wonderful. Does it have a hashtag?
Hashtag Geekfest, hashtag Beirut. And again, Lebanon has got a very vibrant, thriving online community. A lot of people here using social media, a lot of people here with blogs and so on. So I'm expecting to see quite a few people there. And not that I've got any right to expectations. Of course, I've got nothing to do with it whatsoever. I'm just coming here as a visitor. The Online Collaborative guys have done absolutely all the hard work.
So really, I mean, you're not actually participating. You're just there for a sort of a bit of a look-see and see what's going on over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
how lazy of me.
I must say, and I'm not sure if you've been sort of, I'm sure you have actually, always up to date with what's going on as far in terms of news, but I thought this might be a story that you'd would have noticed, would have been Apple to pay $60 million to settle the iPad dispute in China. I know this has been a story that you've been following, all the various different patent issues, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think of that?
I mean, obviously, it wasn't going away. That company that that believed it had rights to some of Apple's property, I believe over the iPad, was going ahead and did seem to be getting backing from the Chinese government. From Apple's point of view, $60 million is just swatting a fly, isn't it?
I mean, it's an incredible story. I mean, just to sort of elaborate a little bit, basically this company in China, which is the Shenzhen ProView Technology, I think, they said that Apple didn't have the rights to call their iPads an iPad. They said it was still theirs and the deal wasn't actually done. Is that correct? I mean, it just sounds incredible. So they were saying, well, listen, we can use the word iPad on any of our products. And they were saying, well, no, you can't.
That was the original story. A lot of these patent disputes really do center around the silliest things. I mean, one of the major patents that Apple is fighting over is the one where to switch a mobile on, you swipe the screen. Do you know, with an Android phone, you sort of swipe the object off the screen to make the screen active. And that's actually a patented technology that Apple is defending with vigor in the courts. And you do sometimes wonder if some of these patent things aren't just, well, frivolous.
Well, yeah, and interestingly, apparently every iPad is actually manufactured inside China Anyway, I mean, it's and they've obviously been settled for 60 million. So I'm wondering how much did, you know, how strong was the case in the first place that they've decided to settle for, as you mentioned, not really much considering.
Yeah, when you've got $100 billion in the bank, $60 million is just a momentary flick of the eye.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think Apple just wanted to get rid of it, and I think it could cause more trouble for Apple in China than it would elsewhere in the world, because, as you say, Apple does manufacture in China, is heavily reliant on its Chinese relationships. And, of course, we're heavily reliant on the fact that the technology is made there, so it makes it cheap for us. I'd love to see how much an iPad manufactured in the UK or US would cost.
Mm. Any other stories?
That would be a food for thought, wouldn't it?
We would. I don't think we'd be...
I was wondering if you had your hand crank generator for the odd power outage that you have in that they have in Lebanon for the Kindle.
Oh, really? There is one?
Yeah, they actually have one out there.
That's really cool.
It's a hand crank generator. You literally crank it, and it actually generates 10 watts of electricity at 120 volts. So
fantastic.
It's enough to do that for you. Do you have one?
Well, I'm safe in saying the Kindle's easily good for a week of really heavy reading, even when you put the lights on. So no worries there.
Okay.
The internet here is a little bit patchy, though. It's a bit slow, even compared to the internet that dear old Etis Salam provided for me.
Oh, wow.
Well, we all were out here yesterday at the studio for about 24 hours, I think, and you were saying that in... Washington,
they've had
major outages at the moment.
Three-day electrical outage. So be glad you're in what is considered the third world.
Wow. What would you do? What would you do, and Alexander, if you were no internet uses for 3 days?
I'd survive. You know, very famously,
read your book.
Sarah and I go and stay in odd remote lighthouses, and I was caught in one of those with actually no technology around me whatsoever when the Icelandic volcano erupted. Uh-huh. And all we had was a radio. We had no internet access or anything. We had to drive to a nearby town and use an internet cafe. And people back home seem to think that was quite amusing. Mr. Online gets to about.
I bet you'd work on Olive 2.0.
Yeah, ooh. Olive 2. Final question.
Third book of the cycle I'm working on, yeah.
We had a story just earlier about that Atari is 40. Now, are you going to show your age and tell us, do you remember Atari? And more so, do you remember Pong?
Oh, I do remember Pong. I remember playing it obsessively and thinking what a terribly clever thing it was.
Yeah.
And when you look back on it, it wasn't really that clever at all, was it?
Oh, it was. It was just very, very, very simple.
I also remember spending a great deal of the money I should have been spending on food and sustenance at college playing on Space Invaders.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Brings back the memories, doesn't it, really? Not like the games that we have today. But, Alexander...
Well, there were classic games. There was Asteroids as well.
Asteroids.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
Asteroids,
that was my favourite.
Yeah.
And Pac-Man.
And Pac-Man, yeah. So, I mean, Atari really did. I mean, in those days, these games were mind-boggling. I mean, particularly Asteroids. It's you know, you're blown away that those sort of graphics could be created on the screen. And of course, nowadays, it's immersive to the point where you almost worry about the real world and being slipping away as you're playing.
Exactly. Anyway, but trip down memory lane there for us all. Alexander, thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy Geek Fest over there in Beirut. We look forward to welcoming you back to the studio next week.
Brilliant. See you then.
All the best.
Bye-bye.
Bye there. That was Alexander McNabb joining us live from Beirut, talking about Geek Fest. I'm sure it's all online, actually, as well, if you'd like to catch up and find out. It sounds like a fantastic programme, I must say. Have you been to any of the Geek Fest?
You know, I have not. A few have been, friends have been, and they like it. I think it's interesting. It's lovely that a lot of people are really enthusiastic about them.
Yeah. But it seems like it's become less of a sort of geek
and more social.
Yeah, more
exactly.
Social, more lifestyle, just because technology is incorporated into everything.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, real diehard geeks will definitely tell you that it isn't a geek fest by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a lovely, you know, celebration of people who care about the online space.
Yeah. I bet there'll be another festival called the Real Geek Fest.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know if geeks would actually call their activities geeks.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's a sort of term, a detrimental term, or if it's actually a term of endearment. I don't know how people...
Well, it's like thought leaders wouldn't call themselves thought leaders, right? So...
But that's quite a nice way of... That's it is, something good to be called. But would you want to call yourself a
somebody key? Else would reference you as such.
Right.
But if you were putting on something, you wouldn't... It'll sound kind of pretentious if you say, yeah. You know, all thought leaders come around.
Sorry, it's my phone.
It's a technology show. We have to have rings and bings. And
It's eternally on. Oh, dear. We have time for maybe one more story before our next break. Would
well, there's
like
a, yeah, there's a, an interesting one about domestic violence and how, you know, another campaigner is dealing with that. And this is a lady who has earned her fame on YouTube by showing people how to apply makeup on YouTube. So she has thousands and thousands
it's
of followers.
The lady from The Guardian, is it?
I think it is. So it's Lauren Luke, who's a UK personality and has 500,000 subscribers.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. I think she just started doing it on YouTube and then it got picked up and then she got a gig on The Guardian, if it's the same one anyway, and now she does a regular spot.
Exactly. Mm. So what she was alarmed by the statistic that 1 in 4 women, including teenagers, experience domestic abuse, be it physical, emotional, or psychological. Mm. And so what she's done is this video that exposes what, you know, it shows... a woman that's kind of applying makeup to a face that's already beaten and battered. And it says, you know, the don't cover it up message is intended for the 65% of women who hide evidence they're experiencing domestic abuse. Through Luke's scars in the video, although the scars are fake, she says that the feeling is definitely real, and that, you know, she encourages women to reach out to a range of charities like Refuge and a bunch of others that are around the world, and that's gotten a lot of interest. And I think it's a wonderful thing to again highlight an issue,
especially online, and it is. It is one of those issues as well, which is sort of still undercover. It's a shame issue. It's an issue that I would imagine many people find it very, very difficult to talk about, to want to talk about, and to actually find someone to talk to as well. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, for some people, they feel they can justify it. And there's really absolutely no justification whatsoever, whether it's physical or emotional. Mm. You really have to seek help if you are a victim of that. And, you know, don't worry about the consequences, but know that, you know, there are ways of dealing with it that are good win-win situations possibly for everyone.
What is it called? Do you have a link to the website?
Well, the story is, I think if you research her name, Lauren Luke, I think you'll be able to get hits on the campaign. And the video was created by Refuge. Mm. So if you go to refuge.org.uk, you'll see the videos listed on the website.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. We're going to go to another break. We've got loads more stories for you. And just a quick forward promote for what we're doing in the second hour today. We're going to be talking about animation in the Middle East. So if you're an animator, if you're keen on the industry, if you'd like to learn about animation, we've got lots of people joining us in the studio to talk about just that. So that's all coming up. But do stay with us, and we'll be back after this.